Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right. Hey, we're getting started. Roy Matlock Jr. and another show, another week that we're going to be talking about the two things that always matter, which is how to grow your income and what to do with that money when you have that gap to make good financial choices. I want to encourage you to go to RoyMatlockJr.com and download some of our guides and listen to the shows from the past. We have all kinds of cool things going on. Today, what we're going to do is continue. I've been on a series, and if you are just tuning in, we've been going from the defense at the beginning of the year all the way through the offense, and now we're moving into trying to help you choose your investment choices when it comes to maybe like your 401k or your IRAs, or just not so much choosing things, but at least giving you the understanding of why it's important to be able to talk if you have a financial advisor. You know, I always try, I've been doing this 35 years, I always tell people, I say, look, I want you to be educated so we can carry on a conversation that is an educated conversation, which allows you to make decisions. You know, I know you're looking to me as an example or your financial advisor to guide you. You know, there's thousands of investments in all kinds of things, you know, and you got questions. That's not what you do. It's just like anything else. If you are good at what you do, you put a lot of time into it, and it's probably not, you know, investments and stuff like that. And so, but at the same time, you don't want to walk in. I mean, it's just like if you go to the doctor, you probably do a little Googling to at least have some idea of what's going on. Well, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to give you some idea of what's happening out there. So what is asset allocation? You know, asset allocation involves taking your assets and putting them across different classes, such as stocks, bonds, cash, whatever. You know, it's kind of a personal thing, you know, that people we do with their money. And the reason we do that is because there's different times in your life that mean different things to you. So, for instance, when you're young and getting started and you don't have a lot of money and you've got a lot of time, then you're probably would go a little bit more aggressive than someone that's at or near retirement. Matter of fact, you go a lot more aggressive if you're doing it the way with the mindset that, hey, I'm putting this money aside. I'm never going to use it for a long, long time. I'm going to do that. And so what happens is asset allocation is a kind of a way to set yourself up based on the timing of your life. Additionally, what asset allocation does is it is something called rebalancing. So we keep it that way. So we don't get heavy in any one place. You know, if we start out and we say, well, we're going to do 25% across small caps, mid-size, large companies, and internationals funds or something like that. And then with nothing other than the markets change, next thing you know, you got 50% of your money in small companies, and then you basically what you've done is you've got the majority of your money in the funds that have gone up the most. You got the least amount of money in the things that have gone up the least, and so therefore you're out of allocation. And then we say, well, let's reallocate it, get it back to that 25, 25, 25. And so those are examples of what asset allocation is. Now, when you create asset allocation, what you're wanting to do is accomplish really, there's about five pieces of the puzzle that I try to do. The first one is your time horizon. So we just mentioned that. But what that is that, you know, how long are you going to be before you use the money? Now, I'll throw a few little curves in there. So what if you're never going to use the money? All right. So if you're never going to use the money, then, you know, then you can invest it as if you're never going to use the money. And I run into a lot of people where they've done a good job of saving money. Maybe they owned a business and they made a lot of money, and now they're in a situation where, you know, they got $10 million or they got $5 million. And realistically, they're never going to use but a portion of it. But they want to send that money to the next, generation, and they want to keep that money continuing to grow. And so they might invest that money, even though they're 70 years old, they may invest it very, very aggressively. You know, my father passed away a number of years ago, and none of my siblings or myself, we don't need an inheritance, all right? And we feel like it's just going to be something that goes generational. And we put it in a trust and stuff like that. And we've invested it pretty aggressively because we don't need it, even though all of us are, 60 years old or older, right in that range. And so what you do is it's a personal scenario. But one of the first steps we do is we look at the time horizon in which we are going to use the money. In other words, when we're going to start pulling on it. The second thing we do is we look at a risk assessment. What we want to do is match up risk to the person. You know, some people are, hey, I'm a business guy. You know, I mean, I start businesses. I take risk. I don't worry about, I don't look at risk that much. When the market goes down, I'm the guy that says, hey, I need what cash have I got? This is an opportunity. The market goes down. I always love for the market to go down because when the market goes down, that's usually when you start making all of your money because eventually it goes back up and you get this period of time that you get to invest at a discount. And you say, man, this is great. Okay, the market went down. Great. All right. And so if you're that person, then you're going to be a more aggressive investor. If you are panicky and you're thinking, oh, the market's down 20%, and so therefore it's going to go down 40%, and I'm scared, da-da-da-da-da, then you're a less aggressive investor. So what we need to do is allocate you accordingly to that. The third piece of the puzzle is diversification. Diversification can be across asset classes, meaning small caps, mid caps, large caps. You know, you do that. You can have real estate in there. You have all these different things. We also have diversification among countries, industries. All right. We have diversification among the companies held inside of one fund. So you don't end up having, I've seen people have four different mutual funds and they own all the same stocks. All right. And so we've got all those kind of things going on. And so when we work on this kind of thing, and today we're going to do that, we're going to go through and just kind of walk you through everything. I think when you get done, you're going to say, wow, that makes sense. Maybe I can apply this to my 401k, whatever it may be. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into the next couple of pieces, which is, now that we do know our risk assessment, our time horizon, and we're looking at diversifying, then we look at investment choices, and we look at rebalancing our portfolio on a regular basis. But if you're just tuning in right now, I would encourage you, if you want to learn, go to roymatlockjr.com and download some of our guides. At the same time, what I would do is just go to your Apple Podcast or any of Spotify, any of those, and look up the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. We post 5 days a week. How about that? So stay with us. We'll be right back as we continue talking about asset allocation. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here. And if you're just tuning in, I've been doing this for 35 years, helping people with their money. I have an advisory firm that we work with individual small business owners to just help you get on the road to financial independence, learn how to do things. And today we're talking about asset allocation. And this has a lot to do with, most of you out there, if you've been working for a while, you may have money sitting in your 401k and you want to make sure you're doing the right thing. And, and people are worried right now. They're always worried. They're worried when the market's down. They're worried when the market's up. But if you'd like to get help, I would encourage you to go to roymatlockjr.com, schedule, 15-minute phone call and, just kind of introduction. And then if you want to take it further, we can, set up a time to actually do a Zoom or even you can come in the office. So you can go to roymatlockjr.com to do that, or you can call 615-843-2999. Be happy to help you on that. That's what we do. So with all that being said, if you're tuning in from our first segment, we talked about creating the asset allocation model, 5 parts. I'll review that real quick. So if you're just tuning in, the first one is time horizon. How long is it going to be before you use the money? The second thing is your risk tolerance. That is, how do you feel about markets? If you're, like me, I was saying, I'm a business guy. I've taken risk. I don't worry about it. I think of down markets as opportunities. But some people think of down markets as scary. And so your risk, the third one is diversification among all asset classes, different countries, industries, all that kind of stuff, where we want to make sure that we're really diversified, not just for funds, but four funds that that would operate differently. Then we choose the investments we're going to go into, and then what we do is on a regular basis, and that's why I always tell people, you know, at least on an annual basis, you should be talking with your advisor, and then you do rebalancing. In many cases, we rebalance automatically, and I like those kind of plans to where it's automatically rebalanced, meaning that we never get heavy in one asset class versus another one. So when we go in, we start out with this time horizon. All right, if you're getting ready to pull money, then we need to back it down a little bit. And we'll talk about this, allocation of stocks and bonds. It used to be, it was like, you know, you get to be a certain age, maybe you're retired, and you put in 40% in bonds and 60% in stocks or whatever it may be. The challenge is right now is that anything fixed rate, be it money markets, be it bonds and stuff like that, you could almost call it dead money. It makes no money. Whereas the typical bond yields in the past, you might get 4% or something like that. So we've got risk in bonds right now. I think we got more risk in bonds than we do in stocks because if rates go up, bond prices go down. So you got the potential on that. So right now, investors are kind of that are at or near retirement are looking at things and saying, you know, where can we get yield? And so we'll talk a little bit about that as we keep going on the show today. But one of the things that you also have to understand is you can't just avoid risk. There's a lot of different risk out there. So, you know, the number one risk that most people think about is market risk. And, you know, market risk is basically you have an account that's worth 100 grand and it goes down to 80 grand. All right. And in avoiding market risk, people will do things. So they'll go as far as go to the bank. And they go to the bank, and the bank's on a money market, maybe paying 0.1%. Guys, let me give you a little rule. A rule of 72 tells you how long it takes your money to double. If you take any interest rate, divide it into 72, it'll tell you how long it takes to double. So let's say you get 1%, it takes 72 years for your money to double. If you get 0.1%, it takes 720 years for your money to double. If you get 9%, it doubles in 8 years. So if you start thinking about that, you say, I just can't afford to be so averse to market risk. I got to take some market risk. All right. And so, the other risk that we run into is inflation risk or purchasing power risk. So right now, you know, gas prices are going up and they're up. Real estate prices have skyrocketed. You got all these different things that are going on, and inflation is the hidden tax. So inflation is a tax on everybody. You know, you go to buy something at the store, you know, and you're like, man, things went up in price. Well, why did that happen? Well, gas prices went up. Well, what did that mean? Well, then that means the cost to deliver the goods and services cost more money. And now they have to pass that on. And then before you know it, our paycheck is the same. And we are having to pay more of our paycheck for the same goods and services. So we have inflation risk. And for people that are retired, what you have to realize is that inflation's not going away. And over time, you've got to have some type of hedge to allow you to do that. So we have inflation risk. We have the market risk. We have another risk, and that's called longevity. And everybody, you know, wants to live longer. I mean, I think everybody'd love to be healthy and live a long, long life. And, you know, I mentioned this, my mother's getting ready to be 98 years old. Think about that. At 98 years old, and she's in good health. I mean, great health. Anybody that's alive at 98 is doing great, but my mother's really doing well. But what would have happened had she run out of money when she was 80? All right. So we don't want to outlive our money. So we have to worry about that. So we have to have some returns on it, not just return of money. We have to have returns on our money. And so we got to outpace inflation because who cares if our income is 30 grand a year forever, but the cost of living goes up. So then we got the market risk. And then lastly, we want to have a clean, you know, everybody's goal is to make life better for their kids. All right. And so we want to have a plan, a probate plan for an inheritance. And so you got all these different things. You don't want to lose all your money to the IRS, or your kids to go through the money and stuff like that. So what we do, we have to go through and we got to look at what is going to build a plan that's going to allow us to accumulate the money, have a plan to get there. That's our FIN number, our financial independence number. So first thing I always tell people is this, you know, you want to retire in 20 years. Well, let's say if you're retired today, what would you need, you know, on an annual basis? And then we inflate that out. Then we look at all your your income sources. You know, may have Social Security, may have a pension, maybe what you have saved, all that stuff. Put it all together and we say, hey, your financial independence number is $2.6 million. You've got this much money set aside. All right, that's going to grow. We'll project that out. And now you're going to need to save this much money if you get this rate of return. And that allows you to have a plan, okay? And we do that with our people. I mean, the first thing you want to know is, hey, what's your FIN? What's your financial independence number? And so then after you do that, you say, well, I'm making this much money. I have this much saved. I have the ability to save this much money on a monthly basis. Then what? I want something very, very safe. I don't want to lose my money, da-da-da-da-da. That's your risk tolerance. And everybody, we understand that. We don't want to lose our money, all right? But at the same time, if it comes back and says, okay, you're making 80 grand combined household income, and at 9%, you need to save $400 a month to reach your financial independence number, or 500 a month, whatever it is, at 9%, you'll make it. But you say, I don't want any risk, all right? And we say, well, if you don't take any risk, you can go to the bank and get 0.1%. The problem you have is that you're going to need to save $10,000 a month in order to be able to retire and not run out of money. And you're saying, hold on, I'm only making $8,000 a month, $7,000 a month. Then your risk capacity is saying, look, you can't afford to go to the bank because you are going to be busted, all right? So then you say, well, I got to take on some risk, right? And that's my capacity. It's the rate of return necessary to reach your goals, okay? When you look at the time frame and your income requirements and the amount of money you earn. So what we do is when I meet with people, I say, look, you know, I get it. People, you know, the market scares people a little bit, but we got to be in there. Okay, we got to do it because if we don't, we'll never be able to. You don't make enough money. You don't have enough money to be able to retire. And so, if you would like to find out more about these type of things, like your FIN number, and get a little risk assessment, maybe take a look at what you're currently doing, compare it, and see if you can maybe save some money, cut some expenses, stuff like that. Go to RoyMatlockJr.com. And click, you know, find an advisor. We'll hook you up with one of our people, or you can call 615-843-2999. Stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. And once again, visit RoyMatlockJr.com and check out, or you can just go in and Google anything. Roy Matlock Jr. podcast. You've got all of our shows. We broadcast this every week, and every day you're going to see something. Just sign up for the podcast and learn about money. Today we're talking about the five parts of asset allocation: time horizon, risk, diversification, investment choices, and rebalancing. And so what we're doing now, we just came out of the break about risk capacity versus and risk tolerance. So let's talk about diversification. What's diversification? I'm going to give you an example. Let's say you owned a business. And you own that business and you said, I want to be diversified. And how am I going to diversify my business? Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell umbrellas for the days that it's raining, and I'm going to sell sunglasses on the days it's sunny. How about that? So every day when it's raining, I have something to offer, and when it's sunny, I have something to offer. That would be diversifying. Now, the reason that you diversify is because they're unrelated. All right? So one thing may go up, the other thing may go down. So when we diversify, we actually reduce our risk of having any one thing. You've heard, never put all your eggs in one basket. Now, I've heard a lot of things like, well, if you do, you better watch that basket 24 hours a day. And guess what? You might get lucky and put all your eggs in one basket, like Bitcoin, that's getting killed as of the recording of this show. But the fact of the matter is that diversification tends to be a better way of doing things for the majority of people because, hey, you're happy about something, you're unhappy about something, but at the end of the day, you do okay. All right. So diversification is a management strategy that blends different investments in a single portfolio. So you're going to have a small company growth fund, all right, and that would invest in the Googles of tomorrow maybe. You're going to have a mid-sized company fund that will be not the one, the company you've never heard of, and not the large company, which would be an Exxon. And somewhere in between, you might say, I want something in the international markets because I don't have all my money in the U.S. I want to have part of it outside the U.S. And because there's great companies like, and I want to own companies that would own Mercedes-Benz and, you know, BP Oil and all these different things and Nintendo. But at the same time, I want to own Apple and stuff like that. So we go in and we put together an asset allocation model that's made up. It's got diversification with it. All right. So now we're across a lot of different things, a lot of different industries, a lot of different countries, a lot of different types of stocks from small, medium, large. We might have some bonds in there. Got all these different things in there. Might even have some annuities in there, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then suddenly what you have is a highly diversified portfolio. Then as we do that, we start saying to ourselves, okay, it didn't go down quite as bad. It didn't go up quite as good, but I'm okay with it, all right, because it's a little bit more in the middle. Maybe that's a moderate type thing. So then we start looking at investment choices. We say, now, how do we go about, we've found out our risk tolerance. Now we got to go out there and pick, all right, what are we going to put it in? And there's a million different things. I say that. There's 9,000 mutual funds. Last I heard, there's probably more than that. You've got managed portfolios. You got ETFs. You got all this kind of stuff. And so then what happens is we start looking, okay, to match up our tolerance with investments that would fall in our risk tolerance and capacity. So let me give an example. You might go in a conservative portfolio. They got low risk tolerance, all right, short-term needs. I'll give you some examples. Let's say that you're saving for your children's college. And when you first took that out, I remember when my kids were born, I put money in their account immediately. And then it started growing. I had it very aggressive. But then we're 2 years away from college. You want to back it down because if we're going to use that money for college, we want the market to drop. All right? So we back it down. Or you're 60 years old and you expect to retire at 65 or 63. We're going to back it down. All right. So we don't want to, what the most important thing I've learned in dealing with people is they don't like losing money, and they sure don't like losing money or having market declines when they need the money. All right. So what we want to do is we probably back it down a little bit when that happens. That would be more moderate. All right. Or conservative. And then if you're looking for a long-term horizon, you might be in a high risk tolerance, hey, you're going to go with something aggressive. So you match up the portfolios, and we go out and we pick funds, okay, or managed accounts. You know, you've heard of these fiduciaries. Well, I'm a fiduciary, and sometimes that's your best route, but in many cases, it's more expensive than just being in a brokerage account. And so what happens is, you find the right mix, and you get with somebody you trust, and over a period of time, you manage the outcome. I want you to think about this. If you're going to be dependent solely on the amount of money you save, and you're working your whole life, wouldn't it make sense to have a plan in place? Wouldn't it make sense to monitor that plan? Wouldn't it make sense to have a trusted advisor that can help you do that? So what I always tell people is that, you know, in life, we don't know everything about everything. If we're lucky, we become an expert in one thing, All right. Very seldom are you an expert in multiple things. You know, I tell people I know a few things. You know, I'm a business guy. I'm pretty good at business, but it kind of goes along with the financial. I'm pretty good with the finances. I think I could be considered maybe an expert on that. I've been doing it forever, and I study it all the time. So, you know, I'm pretty good. I play golf pretty good, but I'm not a professional. All right. I'm not on the PGA Tour and be a financial advisor. All right. So what I always tell people is create a team of people that can help you manage life. All right. That might involve, hey, I need a personal trainer because that personal trainer knows more about working out than I do. Maybe that personal trainer will keep me from getting injured when I try to work out. So, you know, the worst thing about working out is that you get injured. Then you can't work out at all. And so what we do is we're in the financial business. That's our area of expertise. And so if you're looking for help, you get with a financial advisor. That's what I do. I've been advising people for 35 years. That's what happens. So then we go in. Once we've come to the conclusion, we have our diversification and we have all this stuff in place that we've looked at our time horizon and, you know, risk tolerance. And now what we're going to do is we're going to pick funds. And we go in and we can pick things from aggressive growth, international growth, growth in income, balanced, all these different things. And so when we come back from the break, what I'm going to do is kind of get into a little more detail on that. And then I'm going to give you some asset allocation models. What that would be is, you know, I'm 60 years old. What should I be thinking about? Where should I put that money if I'm 60 and I'm getting ready to retire and I'm going to be pulling money out, or I'm 30 and I'm going to do this? I'm going to kind of walk, do like a little life cycle to kind of walk you through and give you some ideas on things like that. Now, I want to make sure that everyone understands that unless you meet with someone and they get all the details of what's happening, you don't make decisions based on a radio show. You get information based on this radio show, podcast, whatever it may be. And then one day you wake up and you're like, hey, I'm pretty educated. And as a result of being educated, I can make better decisions. With that being said, what you want to be doing is working toward getting confident. And once you work toward getting confident, one day you'll say, hey, I feel good. The worry's gone, and I'm doing much better. So stick with us. My name's Roy Matlock Jr. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr., and we're talking today about asset allocation and putting together a plan that will help you. And I'm going to give you a you know, when you're picking funds, you know, one thing that a lot of your 401ks have to offer is something called a target date series. And those target dates are really designed to be asset allocation all in one. And in looking at those target dates, I think they've got a lot of benefits to it, especially for people that don't want to, if you don't have anybody looking at it on a regular basis. What the target series basically does is you take your birth year, and you might add 65 to it if you think you're going to work to 65, or you add 60, whatever number your goal is, all right, to retire. And then what they do is they automate the allocation. So when you're younger, it's going to be more aggressive. When you get near retirement, it automatically becomes more conservative. And most of your target date funds, when you get through, when you actually start pulling money, they get real conservative, and they do it on a 30-year glide plane in terms of thinking, you know, they want to make your money last during that time. Now, keep in mind, a target series, you don't have to add 60, all right? You may decide, hey, I got plenty of money. I'm not even going to use this retirement account, so I'll keep it more aggressive. So what happens is, again, when you're looking at everything you're doing, the asset allocation model really matters. So I'm going to give you an example of what rate of return means in asset allocation So if you put a lump sum in and you withdraw 4% each year and then increase it 3% a year to keep you up with inflation. So what that means is the first year it's 4, the next year it's a little bit more than 4, that kind of deal. So what you're doing is every year you're increasing, you know, your monthly income off of that. Well, in doing that over a 20-year period, a 0.5% difference in interest rate represents 5 years of income. A full percentage point represents 13 years of income. So when you're playing with this, and when you're working your entire life to one day get to a point where you can retire and not be worried, it's very important that you are doing it correctly. And that's why I always encourage people to get with somebody get with somebody you trust that's knowledgeable and make sure that your money gets managed correctly. The last thing you want to do is look back and say, "Oh my God, I didn't know that." All right, and I've run into people that are retired or getting ready to retire, and it's just sad because I've seen people where they had their money tied up, you know, in fixed accounts for the last 20 years, and it's cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars because they didn't know and they didn't get any help, and they are paying for it. And so, the best advice I can give you is this: if you don't understand it, you better learn, because if you don't, what you don't know could destroy your retirement. And so if you need help, you should ask for it. The most important thing to do is ask for help. And if you go and then meet with some people, and if you like it, okay, and you trust them and you get educated, well, then you know what? Get with a financial advisor. You can visit roymatlockjr.com, and that's what we do. So now we're now into picking the funds, and we're going into the asset allocation model. I'm going to give you some ideas, too, on things that you can go into, and that's some different types of annuities. Annuities come in basically three types of things. We'll call them three flavors. We have a fixed annuity, and a fixed annuity is an insurance company issues an annuity. You might call it an immediate annuity if you want to start taking income on it. And that annuity is backed up by the insurance company, and it pays an interest rate, and it's got a guaranteed principal. Now, if you do what's called a non-qualified account, meaning not an IRA, it grows tax-deferred. Of course, anything that's in your IRA will grow tax-deferred, but it's a way you can also put aside money that will grow tax-deferred that is not in a retirement account. A fixed annuity is a fixed – it has a guaranteed principal, and then it's got an interest rate on it. A variable annuity, all right, is on the far side. It has no guarantees. It grows tax deferred. It's invested, and it can be across different fund types. It can go up and go down, similar to any other type of market type account, and it grows tax deferred. And then the indexed annuity is one that has a guaranteed principal, and then it's tied to an index. So let's say that you have an indexed annuity, and it says, all right, you're going to have a participation rate of 40% of X index. So if the market goes down, let's say it was the S&P 500. If the stock market goes down, you get zero. If the market goes up, you get 40% of the upside. All right. So all of these are designed to one day turn into income. All right. And what does this do? Well, what happens is over time, you start thinking, you say, well, I'm going to make a bet. I'm going to bet that I'm going to outlive the amount of money per month I'm pulling out. I may run out of money. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in and I'm going to buy one of these annuities, and I'm going to say, give me a lifetime income guarantee. And if I run out of money, you got to keep paying me. All right. So if I'm pulling $1,000 a month and it goes through all my money, then you got to keep paying me as long as I live, as long as my wife lives. All right. So they've got lifetime income guarantees on it. You can even go as far, which I don't ever recommend you do, to annuitize, and you can take and you can throw a lump sum in, and it says, I'll pay $1,000 a month. Here's $100,000. Give me $1,000 a month for life. But if you annuitize it, you give up your money. All right. And if you die and it pays 2 months and you have a life annuity, then you paid $100,000 for 2 months of income. So most people nowadays, they go with some of these lifetime income guarantees. And what it is if there's money left over, it goes to your family, you know, whoever is inheriting. And if there's no money left over, then they have to continue paying you. So a lot of times people will buy these things with that intention that one day they'll convert it to income. The negative with annuities is they're more expensive, okay, than, say, a mutual fund. You're paying for fees. But why are you paying those fees? Well, those fees are for insurance. It's some of the cheapest insurance you're going to buy. All right. The most expensive insurance right now is FDIC insurance because the FDIC is paying you very little interest. I always like to compare things to the market. I say, well, you know, the S&P 500, pretty much people think over a long extended time, you get about 10%. So if you're getting less than 1% with the bank, you're paying about 9% for the FDIC insurance right now because the rates are low. So then you go over to a fixed account with an insurance company, you might get 2%. You go with an indexed account, you might go and get 4%, 5%, 6%. And if you go with a regular variable annuity, you might get 8% or 9%. So in all cases, when you go into the annuity, you're paying for the insurance. All right, that's what you're doing. Very similar to when you go to the bank, you're paying for the insurance. And so what we look for is a lot of times to use annuities as the portion of the conservative money for people compared to what used to be we would do a bond split. So you might be, you know, 60% in the market, all right, and then you got 40% over here in an annuity that's got some downside risk, some guarantees and some lifetime income guarantees and stuff like that. So think of annuities as this. They're an alternative, okay, to bonds in many cases, and also they provide some lifetime income guarantees. And so, and if you want to put money aside that is for the sake of it, you want to put money aside that you can just defer out taxes, all right? Annuities, you can do that. There's no limit to the amount of money you can put in. So if you said, I got $1 million, I don't think I'm ever going to use it, I'm going to invest it aggressively in a variable annuity. They even have them now where you can put them into the S&P 500, and they've got some downside protections. But annuities in itself, you just need to be aware of what you're getting into. I've seen some annuities that are abusive. And what I mean by that is that you turn over the money, and the next thing you know, when you try to get it out, there's so many fees and exit charges and everything you can imagine that people should never buy those kind of things. All right? So what I always tell people is understand what you're getting into. How about that? All right? And that's where you get educated. You listen to things like, you know, you're listening to right now. You put together kind of a study program on money. I mean, look, what if you read a little bit every day, listen to a podcast, you know, every week, something like that? I mean, the thing about the majority of people, they put more time into planning their vacation or where they're going to go to a restaurant at night than they do about their money. And their money is the thing that pays for all of it. All right. And so if you think of it that way, it would make sense to allocate a portion of your time to, being involved in things that would allow you to learn, you know. And I want to compliment you. Obviously, I'm preaching to the choir if you're listening right now. But trust me, there's a lot of people that are not doing that. And so what I want to do is as we finish up, I'm going to just kind of go through and give you just kind of some, things that I see a lot of times that I see happening. One of the things I see is that people don't really know where their money is. Today, in today's world, you change jobs 5 times. It's not unusual for me to see people that have retirement plans from previous jobs still sitting at the previous job, and they've got multiple ones. I've been in where I had a young couple one time. I got there, and they had 5 different ones, and they were in their early 30s between the husband and wife. And so one of the things that you would consider doing is taking and pulling those in together. You can roll those to an IRA, and rolling it into an IRA, then you get it allocated. That makes sense. Then you know where your money is rather than have it all scattered out. In many cases, people will roll it right back into their 401k at their current job. I don't advise that because then it's locked up unless you change jobs. And so we see this all the time where we have people with their money scattered. So you want to have it, you want to pull it together, and that way you can actually put together a plan. I hope you enjoyed the show today. Here's what I would encourage you to do. The podcast tells you, I've got, gosh, I don't know how many hours and hours, I've been doing this for years, to where you can learn about money. You can visit roymatlockjr.com and download some of our free guides. We also have something, a 12-part course, 45 minutes, 12 parts on money. I would encourage you to do that. You do it right at roymatlockjr.com. With that being said, we'll talk to you next week.